God has an encouraging word for you and me today through the Bible-based preaching of Dr. Don Wilton and a message called Faith of Our Fathers. The Encouraging Word. It's so good to welcome you into this time of gaining insight from Scripture. 1 Samuel chapter 12 is where Dr. Don will begin in just a moment, but he wants me to remind you that we're here for you in a number of ways to connect. Right now, so many are going to our website, tewonline.org, and signing up for our daily Encouraging Word email. That's right. Each and every day, Dr. Don sends a wonderful verse of Scripture, two or ten, but it's something that takes about 60 seconds to launch your day with applications on how God's Word can change your life. Again, sign up for the free email right now at tewonline.org. Just sign up for the Daily Encouraging Word email. It's right there at tewonline.org. And now, Dr. Don Wilton.
I've got so much on my heart this morning, and I'll be perfectly frank with you in saying that I don't know where to begin or how to say what it is that I want to say to you, but I know that the Lord will give me the right words to say. Faith demands that we do what we do because God speaks, not because we can see or understand. Faith invites us to step out into the abyss of the impossible. Faith means that we are willing as a people to come to grips with the fact that God is in control of everything, that He is sovereign, and that God knows yesterday from today just as much as He knows about tomorrow. As I have studied and as I have prayed and asked God to speak to my own heart, God brought me to an incredible passage, and I want you to turn with me in your Bibles to 1 Samuel and chapter 12. Everybody turn there this morning. 1 Samuel and chapter 12. I want to just say this to you. Samuel was a remarkable servant of the Lord. I think that we could spend an inordinate amount of time, but not nearly enough, going back over the life and ministry, the influence of this man by the name of Samuel. And I think we would discover that God used Samuel in some most significant ways over the years and the extent of his ministry to bring about some incredible things for the people of God. What I want us to do today is we're going to do somewhat of an exegesis of parts of this remarkable story. We find Samuel here in chapter 12, right in the latter days of his life. He's about to die. He's an old man. And someone has said that if you want to really understand the quality of life a person has led, just look at them when they are old. An older person will speak eloquently to you concerning the life they have led. Their faces will reflect it. The people who surround them will speak to it. I don't know how to come to someone and to be able to express the investment that you have made in the lives of people, many of whom are seated here today, the lives that have been touched. Do you know that over 40 years ago, a group of people in this church sat down and asked God to put something on their hearts, and they made an investment of their money on a regular basis to begin what has become known as the television ministry that we are exercising right now. Do you know that I'm speaking to well over 100,000 people right now are worshiping with us? Where did it begin? It began with a small group of men and women who sat together around the Word of God and came to understand that without vision, God's people will perish. And they put everything into that fact, and they established that fact. And they had no idea what was going to happen or who was going to be impacted by it. They couldn't see it. They didn't even understand it. But they knew that God had spoken. That's the faith of our fathers. Let's read together here in 1 Samuel chapter 12. Samuel said to all of Israel, "I've listened to everything you said to me and have set a king over you. Now you have a king as your leader. As for me, I'm old and gray, and my sons are here with you. I've been your leader from my youth until this day. Here I stand. Testify against me in the presence of the Lord and his anointed. Whose ox have I taken? Whose donkey have I taken? Whom have I cheated? Whom have I oppressed? From whose hand have I accepted a bribe to make me shut my eyes? If I have done any of these things, I will make it right. You have not cheated or oppressed us, they replied. You have not taken anything from anyone's hand. Samuel said to them, the Lord is witness against you, and also his anointed is witness this day, that you have not found anything in my hand. He is witness, they said. Then Samuel said to the people, it is the Lord who appointed Moses and Aaron and brought your forefathers up out of Egypt. Now then, stand here, because I'm going to confront you with the evidence before the Lord as to all the righteous acts performed by the Lord for you through the faith of your fathers. After Jacob entered Egypt, they cried to the Lord for help, and the Lord sent Moses and Aaron, who brought your forefathers out of Egypt and settled them in this place. But they forgot the Lord their God. So he sold them into the hand of Sisera, the commander of the army of Hazor, and into the hands of the Philistines and the king of Moab who fought against them. They cried out to the Lord and said, O God, we have sinned. We have forsaken the Lord and served the Baals and Ashtoreths. But now deliver us from the hands of our enemies and we will serve you. Then the Lord sent Jerubbaal, Barak, Jephthah, and Samuel, and he delivered you from the hands of your enemies on every side, so that you were able to live securely. But when you saw that Nahash, king of the Ammonites, was moving against you, you said to me, nope, we want a king to rule over us, even though the Lord your God was your king. Now here is the king you have chosen, the one you asked for. See, the Lord has set a king over you. If you fear the Lord and serve and obey him and do not rebel against his commands, and if both you and the king who reigns over you follow the Lord your God, good. But if you do not obey the Lord and if you rebel against his commands, his hand will be against you as it was against your fathers. Now then, stand still and see this great thing the Lord is about to do before your eyes. Is it not wheat harvest now? I will call upon the Lord to send thunder and rain, and you will realize what an evil thing you did in the eyes of the Lord when you asked for a king. Then Samuel called upon the Lord, and that same day the Lord sent thunder and rain. So all the people stood in awe of the Lord and of Samuel. The people all said to Samuel, pray to the Lord your God for your servants so that we will not die. For we have added to all our other sins the evil of asking for a king. Do not be afraid, Samuel replied. You've done all this evil for certain. Yet do not turn away from the Lord, but serve the Lord with all your heart. Do not turn away after useless idols. They can do you absolutely no good, nor can they rescue you, because they are useless. For the sake of his great name, the Lord will not reject his people, because the Lord was pleased to make you his own. As for me, said Samuel, far be it from me that I should sin against the Lord by failing to pray for you. And I will teach you the way that is good and right. Be sure to fear the Lord and serve him faithfully with all your heart. Consider what great things he has done for you. Yet if you persist in doing evil, both you and your king will be swept away. May the Lord write his word upon our hearts. I want to share with you 8 monumental, characteristic, inspirational dynamics related to Samuel's life and concerning the faith of our fathers. As I looked at these dynamics in the Word of God, God began to speak to me. And I make no apology in saying to you today, beloved friends, that I truly believe that as imperfect as we are as a people and as a church, I truly believe that one of the reasons why God has blessed this church is, amongst many other reasons, the faith of our fathers and mothers, those who have laid a foundation in this church. Those who have acted because they believe God had spoken. Those who are willing to say, we are not going to be confined by the parameters of worldly dynamics. We are going to serve the Lord our God, and we are going to be obedient to Him. And it matters not whether we can understand or whether we can see. We are going to do what we do because we know who God is. I meet with a group of our men, and it's one of the most blessings in my life. We've been doing this probably 7 years now. And I just shared with the group this morning before the early service that this has been such a blessing to me. And one of them said, as we always do, what can we pray about today? And of course, we always have things to share together. And I just made this statement that I believe the Lord wanted us to hear. I said something like this. I said, you know, I wish that I could give you a whole list of things to pray for specifically today. But the wonderful thing about praying to God is that you don't have to know what you're praying about. All you have to do is know and understand who you are praying to. Because when you know and understand who you are praying to, who you are praying to already knows what you are all about. Don't ask me to repeat that, but it sounded good.
Sometimes I even get confused, but the truth is, when you hear His heart, Dr. Don's just reminding us that we sometimes overthink how powerful prayer is as a tool for you and I to speak to the Lord of the universe. God is ready to hear from you, even if you don't have the right words to say. We'd love to encourage you and to give you some tools to strengthen your prayer life. You can find those on our website at tewonline.org, or give us a call. Maybe let us pray with you and for you. Our phone number is 866-899-WORD. Jot it down, store it in your cell, 866-899-9673. We'd love to connect with you. Now back to today's message with Dr. Don Wilton.
You know, when you know who God is, folks, listen, some of us say, Lord, what can I say? God says nothing, just talk to me. He knows about us. He knows about our pain, our circumstances, our ups and downs. He knows about that. Now, let's not be mistaken. He wants us to be specific. He wants us to talk to Him. But folks, who are we dealing with here? We're dealing with God. God knows everything. There's nothing that God doesn't know. Therein lies the expression of our faith. I thank God for men and women in this church for over 160 years who have expressed the faith of our fathers and mothers. Well, what about Samuel? Let's use Samuel as an example. Number one, the first demonstration of Samuel's faith had to do with, number one, perseverance. Perseverance. Look here in verse 2. This is what God's word says. He says, as for me, I'm old and gray, and my sons are here with you, and I've been your leader from my youth until this day. You know, amongst the many things that I would say to college students, folks, hang in there. Don't give up. Persevere. You know, I bring up Chris Grant again. You know, just 6 weeks ago, Chris Grant down in Clinton had one of the most horrific accidents, was hit by a car doing 70 miles an hour. And folks, there's no question about it. He should be dead. Right, Chris? No question about it. There's no way that he could have survived. But he's here today. This is the first Sunday he's back in church, getting stronger every day. Let me tell you something, folks. Chris, I remember talking to you on the phone when you were in Charlotte about to go through surgery. And buddy, you didn't sound too good. I mean, you just sounded miserable. Listen, folks, there are many times and many reasons that you and I could want to stop and turn around and give up and capitulate and become satisfied. If there was anything about the life and testimony of Samuel, he was a man who persevered. He kept on. He never gave up. He kept on keeping on. He was right there in the middle of everything. And I thank God that in this church for over 160 years, there have been countless numbers of men and women and boys and girls and young people who have persevered because of who God is.
God had a plan. God was in control. And even though we have these setbacks, there are some of you sitting out here today, you have been hurt this week in ways which most of us cannot even describe. Don't give up. Persevere. Keep on keeping on. That's what faith is all about. It's looking ahead. It's saying, oh God, I want you to know that despite my circumstances, despite my struggles, despite my pain, despite my hurt, despite my disappointment, despite my joy, and despite everything else, I am going to keep on. God is the God of the future. Perseverance. A second point I would bring to your attention concerning the faith of our fathers is the matter of integrity. Look at verses 3 through 5. I'm not going to read it again, but can you imagine Samuel coming to the end of his life and gathering all these people together and saying, all right, while you're all here, is there anybody who can accuse me of anything? Have I stolen anybody's donkey? Have I accepted any bribes? Have I done anything to bring discredit to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ or to my family? Do you know, people say things over time to one another. If this was a graduation service, which is not, and I'm not just picking on our young people here today, but folks, listen to me. You can be terminated from your job. Your house can burn down. Your church can burn down. You can have a car wreck. You can have a lot of very, very hard things happen to you. But I'm going to tell you, if you lose your integrity, you've lost more than you will ever imagine. You guys who are at college, I want all the college students to look at me. Let me tell you, on a college campus, you can go to church until you're blue in the face, but you lose your integrity in that dorm room, you're going to spend a lifetime trying to get it back. Integrity, by God's grace, is one of the most valuable assets that we have. And when you talk about integrity, you're not talking about perfection, because none of us are perfect. We all struggle. We all have our moments. We are sinners. We are sinners saved only by the grace of God. Integrity is the stepson of the blamelessness of which the Apostle Paul talks about when he says that in God's righteousness that I have been declared to be blameless according to him. How can I be blameless as a sinner? Only in Christ Jesus. My integrity is the master mark of the master's mark. Samuel was a man who, at the end of his life, was able to stand before God's people. Let me ask you, how are you doing these days? How are we doing as a congregation these days? You know, friends, and I'm not being untoward critical, there are churches today that have a great deal of problem trying to grow together because they lack integrity. Ruined witness. There are high school kids that are losing their integrity. There are moms and dads who are sacrificing their integrity. Listen, I thank God for the faith of our fathers. I thank God for someone like Samuel. I thank God for men and women for over 160 years in this church who have demonstrated not only perseverance but integrity. Number three, testimony. Testimony, verse 7. Verse 7, Samuel says, now then stand here, because I'm going to confront you with the evidence before the Lord. Folks, watch this. The confrontation of godly evidence before the Lord is your testimony. Now, what is your testimony? Testimony can be divided into three parts. Number one, what and who you were before Jesus came into your heart. Number two, how you accepted Jesus Christ into your heart. And number three, and perhaps most importantly, what you have become since Jesus came into your heart. All of us, all of those of us who love the Lord Jesus, have a personal testimony. And what Samuel was talking about here, Samuel was talking about the faith of the fathers, and he was talking about the fabric of personal testimony that has been interwoven through the fabric of society. You see what God is talking about when he talks about his people and his work? He's talking about the fundamentals of our faith in Christ Jesus. How's that expressed? Perseverance, integrity, testimony. Number four, godly advice. Godly advice. I want you to just think about this. I look around this room here today, and I tell you what, I can start naming off people. Just like that. People that I just love to be around. Just people that I just love to be around. Why? Because I know that they are about the business of godly advice. Look what happens here in verse 14 and 15. The Bible says that Samuel looked at the people, and there's a conditional clause. He says, if you fear the Lord and serve and obey him, this is what's going to happen. But if you do not fear the Lord and serve him and obey him, I want you to know something. You don't have a leg to stand on. What was Samuel talking about? The giving and receiving of godly advice. Folks, my boat would have sunk a long time ago. Here at First Baptist Church, if God hadn't placed around me an army of men and women who epitomize godly advice. I thank the Lord Jesus for the faith of our fathers and mothers. Young people, watch me. It is a very foolish person who doesn't pay attention to the godly advice of a parent. Listen to what God is saying to you through godly people. God will use godly people. It's what I love about this church. God's people, all people, coming together to serve the Lord. When I think about that vote taken in May of last year concerning building together in faith, and I think of the monumental significance and the fact that it is such a defining moment, when I see this congregation packed out on that Wednesday night, I think of the literal hundreds of people in this church who worked for over 2 years giving godly advice and input and working and deciphering and deciding and examining and trying to figure out and coming to the point at which all of us get upon our knees and say, Lord, you are speaking to us, and without a vision, we are going to perish. You write your word upon our hearts, and we will do exactly what it is that you're calling to us to do. Number five, faith. That's what it's all about. Verse 16. I love verse 16. Because Samuel says, after having gone through all this expression, he says, now then, stand still. By the way, that little word there, stand still, you know what it means? It means stop. Excuse me. Hey, hey. That's what it means. Some of you all of a sudden listened. Samuel said, hold on. Stop. Stand still. You know, I think really that would have been relevant for today, because all of us are trying to catch our tails. I mean, we're so busy, we're running around here and there. Most of our moms are taxi services during the weekday, running sons and daughters backward and forward to this, that, and the next thing. We are a busy people. We're about all kinds of stuff. And listen, what he says here is, listen, let's get this all down to where it really counts. And in verse 16, he says, now then, okay, having said all of this, stand still and let's see together the great thing the Lord is about to do before your eyes. Did you notice what tense that's in? Future tense. That means it is an expression of faith. Samuel said to those people, we've put all these things in place. Now stop doing what you're doing and get on and do what you're supposed to do, because God is going to do what God says he is going to do before you've even got there. See, my problem as an ordinary man is to sit down and say, but Lord, could you just kind of show me what it's all about? And God says, excuse me? Now, I want you to know we've done our best. We've tried to get schematic designs and drawings and buildings, and We're trying to plan, and in your brochure this morning, we've got all kinds of meetings coming up with leader banquets and all kinds of things, getting people all over the place. We're trying to do all that sort of stuff, and it's very important, and God is moving, and God is working. But I'm going to say to you the bottom line, we must do what we do based upon one thing, faith. Faith. Let's stand still, and let's see what God will do amongst His people. Number six, respect. Respect. Look at verse 16 with me. Verse 18. Then Samuel called upon the Lord, and that same day the Lord sent thunder and rain. So all the people stood in awe of the Lord and of Samuel. I tell you what, my friends, there is a real sense in which I have nothing to say because I stand in awe of the presence of God.
Could it be as you've been listening to Dr. Don Wilton, you've heard more than just Dr. Don. You've been overwhelmed by the power and the presence of God in His Word. God's Word is living. The Bible is something that is miraculous in the sense that you can read some of the same verses or hear them preached and be totally changed by them as you hear them the second or third or maybe the 100th time of God's work in your life. Let us pray with you and for you. Matter of fact, right now, let Dr. Don lead you in what could be the most important prayer of the day.
God has spoken to you, hasn't He? And you're ready to give your heart to Jesus. I'd love to help you right now. Would you pray this prayer with me and accept Jesus into your heart and life? Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner. I know that Jesus loves me and died for me on the cross. Right now, I repent of my sin. And I confess my sin to the Lord Jesus Christ. Come into my heart and save me today and forgive me for my sin. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you've prayed that prayer, we'd love to get alongside of you and celebrate with you and send you some literature and help you as you begin to grow. And I want you to know that I love you very, very much.
If you've given your heart to Jesus Christ, if you prayed along with Dr. Don, maybe to rededicate your life, we have wonderful resources that we would love to put in your hands absolutely free. Give us a call. Our phone number is 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673. I can guarantee you, anytime, day or night, you'll find one of us ready to talk or listen or pray or connect you with great resources. Resources like you'll find about the Great Awakening on our website at tewonline.org. That's tewonline.org.
Our nation is in trouble. Many voices are speaking in our world. We must learn to apply biblical truths to the times in which we now live. With your gift of support to the Encouraging Word this month, you will receive Dr. Wilton's classic and timely message, The Great Awakening, Biblical Truths in Perilous Times. Messages include The Antichrist, Apostasy, Part 1 and 2, and What One Man Can Do for a Nation. This message will be sent to you for your gift of $20 or more in support of the Encouraging Word. Call us at 866-899-WORD to request The Great Awakening, Biblical Truths in Perilous Times today. The Encouraging Word is a viewer and listener-supported ministry. Thank you for listening today.
Our time's gone for today, but oh, tomorrow Dr. Don is taking us to Hebrews, the book of Hebrews, and talking about true faith. I hope you'll not only join us, but invite a friend to join us. And if you're listening on the radio, or maybe you're just downloading the podcast, share it with your friends and connect with us on our socials as well. You'll find all the details on our website, tewonline.org. That's tewonline.org. Your social, we're as well. Let's get connected together. That's online at tewonline.org.